every one of your lives. And sometimes it's so much easier to see it as somebody else's than your own. So I'm still working on it. I can only imagine when I look in the mirror tomorrow morning that it's really going to be Christ I see and not an old sweepy thing. But truly, that is the truth of God's Word. He speaks with us through His Spirit and through His Word. And it's a humbling thing. It's very humbling when you think about you have the Spirit of Christ within you in this body of Christ. And the reason we have that Spirit within us is because God deemed it necessary and the right thing to do to help this body work together the way He put it together. I just thought that was so cool, the song this morning, because that's a really cool song, and it moves people's hearts. But you know what? We have the privilege of seeing that Christ in one another every time we look at each other. And to endeavor to see that sometimes can be, you know, brings me back to Bob sharing a few weeks ago. What makes a difference? The choice you make. Do you make a choice to see the Christ in your brother and sister and in yourself? Or do you make the choice to see things with the flesh of the world? Why do you guys always make the choice to see the Christ in one another? That's the way I know that. And then the thing that Jan taught, the house of God. Where does God live?
In us.
Yes, remember?
The body.
In the body, in us. We are the body of Christ. That's where God dwells. So when I do what I do, am I ever conscious? Hey, God's dwelling in here. You think that can make a choice in my decision a little bit easier if I remember this stuff? Mm-hmm. So many times I think we get involved in the things of this world. We are body, soul, and spirit, men and women. And our flesh is with us all the time, right? It's there. But guess what? So is the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. So we get to choose. There's always a choice. We choose to believe the word, the written word, or we choose to believe the revelation God gives us, and we base our decision upon that. Or we choose to, I don't feel like it today. I've had a rough week, dang it. Nobody else has had the week I've had. Well, God's had it right along with you. Jesus Christ has been there the whole time. We are never, ever, ever alone. And then God put us in this wonderful family of Christ, this wonderful family of God, to do exactly what Jeannie taught about. You know that? To be there for one another. And we're going to look at some stuff in the Word today that just is mind-blowing. Simple, but mind-blowing. And I'm so thankful you shared about Carmen, because we have been praying for Carmen, and we want to see our sister delivered. That's part of how this body works together. Every member is important, which I thought was great. So I want you to go to, we're going to start in. Let's start in Galatians, chapter 5. Practical application of living in the body of Christ. That's what I'm teaching on. How do we live this life of Christ among the body of Christ? And reach out, like Ernie was talking about, with the love of Christ, the name of Christ, the joy of Christ, the compassion of Christ. How do we do that? God is pretty specific that we should not walk by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Now I said Galatians 5, right? Mm-hmm. Let me get that. Different guys ever done teaching, we have thought, I'm just going to mark with a piece of paper where I go next and next. Yeah. And then one of those pieces fall out, mm-hmm. or you flip past it, and you're like, whoa, that's not what I was going to share about, mm-hmm. and you're lost, so I just take my time and get to the right place now. that's pretty weird to do that. Okay, Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, our five senses is part of our flesh. For the flesh, lust against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Ever been there? I have. Not a good place to be. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If we walk by the Spirit, God gives us the direction we need to go. And there are no things that God is not willing to deal with. The law is put aside. We deal with each other's hearts and lives with the love of God. Jan, remember she taught that that's what binds us together in the body is the love of God. And we deal with each other's hearts and lives and the people that God puts in our path to witness to minister to. Sometimes all we do is pray for someone. You never see them again. Ever happened to you? But you know what? You did what God showed you to do, and God will take it from there and do what he needs to do for that person down the road. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. So, you know, God put that spirit within us because he desires for us to walk by that spirit. And that is something that probably will take us a lifetime to figure out how to do as perfectly as is available for us to do it. So let's start in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which ye were called, with all lowliness. Now, that is really not a good translation of that word. Does anybody else have a translation that says humble or humility? Okay. That is the better translation there for that word. With all humbleness or humility, gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we all are equal spiritually here with the Spirit of Christ within us. And God wants us to walk worthy of that calling. Who gave us the calling?
He did.
Who called us?
He did.
He did. God did, right? And he wants us to walk worthy. So let's look at that word humility, because that is one of the key components of walking worthy of how God has called you. And we'll get into a lot of that, right? But I want to start with the humility thing, because humility sometimes is one of the hardest things for us to do. And I don't think we don't do it on purpose. I think sometimes it's just hard to realize, whoa, this is an area where I need to have some humility. Humility is the opposite of arrogance. Humility is a quality that helps us to be able to put others before ourselves. And the service of God to his people, that is a key component that has to live within our heart. That we are humble before God. And in the understanding and knowledge of how great his love is for each individual in this world. And then when you get to the body of Christ, people that are born again of God's Spirit, God, we are his masterpiece. Once that Spirit is in there, that's what he says. That's not what I say. And to be able to be humble and be able to put each other ahead of yourself when God asks you to do that. Sometimes you do need to take care of yourself and God. That's the most important thing we can do, number one, is our relationship with God. He wants to spend time just with you. And that should be a kind of like I would call a bulldog event in your day. You just won't let go of letting that time with God happen because it is vitally important in our lives. And then we make the decision to put others before ourselves. Humility helps us to see how God delivered us. It doesn't like, you know, sometimes you think, God did all this for me, and, oh, man, I'm a hot dog on a stick. Well, yeah, in some aspects that's true, but in the bigger aspect, the more mature aspect of a believer, is you see God and how much He's done for you, and your humility just flows from your heart to Him. How much He has done for our lives, how much Jesus Christ paid for our lives. You know, when we take our eyes off of us and we look at them, humility is not a hard thing to manifest in our lives. Humility can stop anger in its tracks. Because a lot of times people are hurt and angry and they're stubborn in their defense of I'm right. And you know what? Sometimes you can be right and it's okay to be humble enough to say, what can I do to help you? What can I do to make this right between us as brothers and sisters in Christ? We're talking about this morning, how do we practically live the Christ in us in this body of Christ? Now, we are a body of Christ. Whoever's born again is a body of Christ. But in our calling right now, this is where God has called us to be, to minister to love with, to serve with, to have joy with, to worship Him with, to rejoice with, is this group of believers. Okay? It may be down the road you'd be somewhere else with another part of the body of Christ. But this is what we are to do no matter where we are in the body of Christ. Understand? This is how we treat each other. Okay? It can stop anger and it can heal old wounds. When someone is humble and has the humility to, first of all, to God, to say, you know what, I know that something's not right between us, and I don't know if I've hurt you or what I've done to you, but I want to make it right because I love you. That's humbleness. That's how we are supposed to live among each other. Sometimes I think we're more concerned and we're more tender and loving with people that we're trying to get born again. You know, that we're speaking the truth in love to. And you know what? That's great. We need to be that way with them too. But we are God's masterpiece, people. And He leaves us these directions. This isn't Vicky's words. This is God's word. And this is what He needs us to do. And if we're going to be the book of Acts, which is what we call ourselves, we need to live the Word of God. People need to see the fruit of that in our lives. And humility is a big part of it. And you know what? The greatest example we have is Jesus Christ. Go to the Gospels. Read about Him. Look at the humility He walked with, the love He walked with, the gentleness, the tenderness, the meekness. Some of these things we're going to read that's what we're supposed to be doing here. Let's go. We'll start with verse 2 again. With all humbleness and gentleness, with long suffering. That sounds so hard. It just means patience. You're patient with people. You're patient with yourself. Okay? And sometimes we need to be patient with God. Because maybe our plan doesn't exactly line up with His when we think about it. But God says, this is what I need you to do. And, you know, you just need to do it. Well, I want to see this. Just do it. So patience is not such a hard, long suffering. It makes it sound so impossible, but oh, when you're locked in with God, it's so easy. Bearing with one another in love. Bearing can sound a little bearing. God, I gotta bear this thing. You know, all that means is you're there for someone. You help hold someone up when they're going through a hard time. You don't just walk away because somebody's not perfect. You don't just walk away because God's still at work within all of us. He's not done with us yet. You know, we don't get born again, now we've attained everything, and God just moves on. No. Every day He teaches us. Every day that we're willing to listen and humble ourselves before Him, first and foremost, He teaches us. We grow spiritually. You know, the book of Ephesians is not written to children in the Word. It's not written to people that are just born again and God is just starting to work within them to teach them and they're just learning how to hear His voice. Now, do they have every right and promise of God's Word that someone has been in the Word for 50 years? Absolutely. Their standing is as sure and as strong as the longest person that's been in the Word is alive. He still has the same heritage. But there is a process of learning how to listen to God. And that's why we have the Word, to help us get through some of the things we need to learn from here first, so He can really work within our hearts through the Spirit, and we hear Him. We hear Him. One of the best things we can do is sit down in the morning and be quiet with God. And listen. It is a major point in our walk. And being able to walk in the body of Christ with that kind of love and compassion, you know what, guys? I can't do that on my own. I have to dig deep into the Spirit of God. I need Him to comfort me and guide me and direct me so that I can go with His program. Because sometimes I think my program's good. Mm-hmm. But it's never better than God. And so a mature believer gets to the point where we understand. We don't have to understand everything He's telling us. We just need to be obedient. Obedient. You want a new great example of obedience? Look at the life of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. How He walked. He was obedient even unto the death of the cross. Now, God's not going to ask us to do that part. Jesus Christ already did that part. But man, if you think about it, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I think, God, this is really hard. Why is this happening? You know what? You need to be obedient to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God within you, if you're going to walk with the great fruit of the manifestation of the Spirit. Joy, peace, love. It's in Galatians. You can read about it later. Those things should be evident in our life as we practically apply this stuff from God's Word. Endeavoring to keep the unity, you know, forbearing one another in love, and then endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How are we unified?
Spirit.
Through the Spirit. So God's done that part. So we're not trying to keep each other's spirit together. We're trying to keep the unity of the Spirit. The big key here is to keep it in the bond of peace. That's where the focus is. Because we're not always going to agree on everything. But there is a peace that Jesus Christ left with us. And He told us He left it with us. John 14:27. Somebody go there for me. John 14:27. Yeah, who's got it?
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, but I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
There you go. Whose peace is that? The peace of Jesus Christ. Whose Spirit is in you? The Christ's Spirit. The Spirit of Christ. That peace is in our heart. Sometimes we may not feel that peaceful, or we may not recognize that peace. But it's there for us to draw from. And when we are endeavoring to keep the unity and the bond of peace, endeavoring is an earnest, continuing effort with an enthusiastic goal. You are earnest. You are committed. You see the goal. God gives us the goal in His Word. We see the goal. And it is an issue of our heart more than anything else. We have all the enablements. Do we have the heart attitude to be humble, to be gentle, to be meek, to be kind to one another? See, it's a heart attitude that God works within us too. And with that peace of Jesus Christ within us, it's not that hard to tap into it if we just think about it. You know, Jeannie talked about the body of Christ and how each person in this body is unique and wonderful and very, very needful. And you know what? God sees our lives like he sees Christ. And we need to have the ability to, no matter what the circumstance is, grab our minds and see the dignity and the worth of God's people to God. That will help you stay humble. That will give you patience. You know, you it's not just an act we go through, people. It's an issue God's working in our hearts every day to love each other like that. He's the one who's called us to do these things. So he's got to give us the means in which to do it, because he's a loving God. He would never ask us to do something we can't do. It's our silly little heads sometimes that get in the way. And that's why this teaching is a very practical teaching, because we need to get our little heads wrapped around God and his word sometimes instead of our own emotions and feelings. And that endeavoring, again, I said, you know, was to an earnest and continuing effort. Well, if I have to, that's not an earnest effort. No, you don't do this because I say so. We do this because God asks us to do it. And you know, sometimes in the body of Christ, there's a time for confrontation. That's part of keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So confrontation doesn't have to be a bad thing. Doesn't God say he confronts those that he loves? Well, you know, sometimes I need a little help to realize my flesh is kind of controlling my emotions rather than the things I know of God. And you know, people around me love me enough to come up and say, hey, Vic, you know, that's what God says. You know, all it is just helping each other get back to the Word. That's all it is. It's not a bad word. But sometimes people think it is. Do you know what? If I love you, I want God's best for you. And sometimes speaking up and helping bring each other's hearts back to this stuff right here, for bearing one another, being patient with one another, speaking the truth in love to one another, isn't an easy thing to do, because people get mad at you. Nobody likes to be confronted in the moment. I'm working on that. I'm going to try every time I feel like, okay, this isn't what I want. Whoa, Vic. This person's loving you. Get your mind around it. Because the adversary will use anything and anyone, any statement, any circumstance to cause what? Division in the body of Christ. And yet, God tells us right here that we are to walk in unity, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. And who called you?
God did.
God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. How powerful is that statement? God called you. How can I look at you any differently than that? I mean, seriously. God called you. God called us. Man. Okay, now I want to go down to this next part that we would go to, which I encourage you to read later, is how Jesus Christ then gives gift ministries to the church for the edifying and the building up of the church, and that each member of the church is just as important as the other member. And so I would think it would be really good for you to read that down the road here, but I want to go over to verse 12, the new man. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all the uncleanliness with greediness. There are people like that out there. You know? But guess what? But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true and righteousness and holiness. That's how we got this way. God gave that to us. Okay, now he did that part. Now what's he telling us to do? What does it say? You have not so learned in Christ that you put off. What do we have to do? We have to put off our old bad habits. We have to put off the bad way of thinking, the wrong way of thinking, because we are no longer that person. But we have to do that. We have to put it off. We put on the mind of Christ. There are many sections in the church epistles, calling Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Thessalonians. You guys, that cover this information so much greater than I could teach it ever. Read those church epistles. The whole key to keeping the unity and the bond of peace is understanding who you are in Christ and understanding who the members of the body are in Christ and how God directs us to love and take care of each other. And the fruit of that is seen Saturday mornings down handing out water. That's that God can do that in your lives, in our lives, because we have that love for people. But the love for one another needs to be a fruit in our lives that shines like a lighthouse. And people see it and they go, oh my gosh, you know what? Because love is what binds us together. Right, Jan? Jesus. The glue. She called it the glue. Cooper? Okay, great, Vicki. How do I do that? Okay, well, let's go to back to Ephesians. Starting verse 25. Okay, here we go. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. Chapter 4, same place. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. You got an issue with somebody? Go to them in the spirit of peace, in the love of Christ. Fix it. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. You know why? Because it just gets bigger the next day. And then our minds start thinking things we don't need to think. And pretty soon we're thinking things that happened in that conversation that never even happened in that conversation. Been there? Yeah, all of us have done it. God says don't do that. He's showing us here the difference. Okay? It says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Don't give the devil the benefit of the doubt over your brother and sister until you've talked to them and you've had their heart opened and you've opened your heart. Don't let the adversary make them the bad guy. He's the bad guy. Okay? Always. Don't give place to the devil. Don't let the devil convince our thinkings through our emotions that our brothers and sisters in Christ, that our friends, that the people are out there God wants us to speak to and talk about Jesus Christ and the glory of God. Don't let the devil make them the bad guy. Because you're not. He is the father of lies. Is that not true? The word says he's the father of lies, and he's the father of lies. When you have a doubt about someone, well, did she really say that about me? Why did she? You know what? You have just been deceived. It's that simple for him to do. Don't give him place. Always give your sister, your brother in Christ, your husband, your wife, your friends, your roommates. Always give them the benefit of the doubt, okay? Don't give place to the devil, because he is evil and he will lie to you and he will deceive you to get you to do the opposite of God's word. Just don't do it. Because I tell you, we have more power and more ability than he does, and God is greater than he could ever be. So don't give place to that. Okay, let him that stoweth steal no more, verse 28, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is for good for necessary edification. Build each other's up. Build each other up. You guys are the most awesome people in the world. God's people are awesome. And we don't need to be talked out of that. Because that's the truth. We have Christ in us. Okay. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom ye were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, you know, think about these words. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Just don't do it. Don't let the words come out of your mouth. And if they get in your thoughts, go to God and get them out of your thoughts. Because if they stay in your thought, they're going to come out of your mouth. We are to work together to guard this unity. It's to be a continuous endeavor. These things happen continuously in our lives. We are tempted. We have an enemy. That's not a surprise, right? Mm-hmm. God is really directing us here in chapter 4 on how to keep that unity and how to walk in love with one another. It's a great section of the word we need to really take hold of. And here's verse 32. Take a deep breath, everybody. And be kind to one another. I can do that. Be tenderhearted. I can do that. Forgiving one. Wait a minute. But he didn't apologize. But I didn't do anything to deserve what he did. But he always treats me that way. Mm-hmm. You see any of that anymore? Mm-hmm. It just says simply, forgiving one another. Here's the big one. Even as God in Christ forgave who?
You.
Me. You, 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 you. Anybody in here that doesn't think that's true? I didn't think that in me. You know why? Because it is so true. That's the only reason we are who we are. Is God forgave the sin of Adam and Eve. He came up with a plan. He redeemed man back. And you know what it says in the word? That he forgives our sins and he casts them as far as the east is from the west. And he, God, the creator of the universe, Almighty God, our Father, gosh, I need to call me that, our Father, he forgave all of us. And he paid the perfect price in his only begotten Son. So he could do that. He had to do it justly. Well, you know what? All of that's done. So we justly forgive each other because that's what God asked us to do. And then you say, okay, well, how do I do that? Well, look at verse 5. I mean, chapter 5, verse 1. See how good?
Here we go.
Therefore, be imitators of the king.
No.
Is that what that says? Does it? Of my pastors. No. It says, therefore be imitators of God. Now, this verse blows my mind every time I read it. Of all the things God could ask us to do to imitate him, what is it that he asked us to do? We are to be imitators of God as dear children and walk in what?
Love.
As Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's how we do it. We walk in that kind of love. We have that determination, that endeavoring, like, I'm not going to quit until I do this right. Point in our heart and life, and then we walk in that love, that agape love that has been shown to us from God and from Jesus Christ. And he gave himself for an offering, a sacrifice for us. So is it such a big deal to forgive one another? Not really. Not really. Is it such a big deal to say I'm sorry to somebody? Even if you felt like you're the one who was offended, but you want that unity and that peace in the body, so you're willing to humble yourself before God and do it his way? Not really. Not really when you think about it. And now you say, okay, then how do I do that? How do I walk like that? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to close here. Because this is a practical key that will get you and me to the point where this is not such a great challenge. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, and we do, we have flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We are in a battle, and it's not a fleshly battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The adversary will put strongholds in our life, and he will try to convince us that those areas of our life we cannot change. I just can't do it. It's just not. I can't change. I just can't. Lie. Now, the way that we're going to really strengthen ourselves, people, to be able to walk in a practical sense in the body of Christ, like we just read, God wants us to walk. This is a major key, all right? So I want you to really grab hold of this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Those things that the adversary thinks he can convince us we can't change. That's a lie. Casting down argument and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, Bob's teaching. What makes a difference? Your choice. All right, you're in a situation. Here's God's way. Here's what you feel like doing. Here's God's way. Here's what you're driven to do. It. You know what the word says? You're to cast that down. You are to choose God's way. You cast down the argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and you choose God's way. Here's how you choose God's way. Ready? Bringing every thought. Think about it. Every thought. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. When you have a choice to do it the world's way, your brother's and sister's way, or the way of Christ, what should you do with your thought? You cast that bad negative thought that's against God's word down. And you put on the thoughts of Christ. And where are you going to find the thoughts of Christ? In the Word of God. You know, sometimes in life situations, it can get pretty hectic. And sometimes I just can't clearly hear what God's trying to tell me. So you know what? I grab this book, and I go to it, and I start reading. God, show me what you need to show me to strengthen me. Because I want to do God's will. How many of you in this room don't want to do God's will? It's a good question. No, we all want to do God's will, guys. So this is how we do it, okay? We cast down every thought that's contrary to God's word, and we leave that thought captive to Christ. And we look at his life, his example, his words, and that's what we do. And if we're willing to live our life like that, you know what? It gives God so much room to continue to teach us, to strengthen us, to to give us more understanding how to be these spiritual men and women that he had called us to be. And we want our lives, the bottom line, we want our lives to give honor and glory to God, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what Jesus Christ did? Always did his Father's will, always gave God the credit, always. He connected us back to our Heavenly Father. Without him, there would be no connection. There would be no going in before God's presence. So let's walk with him. Let's lead those thoughts captive. Let's allow that Spirit of Christ within us, which is the closest. You talk about a relationship with somebody. You can't get any closer than Jesus Christ living within you. But the key is to allow him to manifest his walk in life, in your walk in life, as you walk with great love, tenderness, lowliness, obedience. And you know what? God works with each one of us differently. And he will teach each one of us what we need to do in every situation. Just make sure that your heart is locked in with him and your heart is to live that life that he has given us to live in Christ.